Today we're continuing with a series that we started about 3 weeks ago, and we're looking at some science of the new century. Now, I want to share with you before I get into this sermon about something that's important. All preachers, including Jesus, practice something called metanoia. It's a $50 word, but it's one that's important to try to remember. And metanoia is a change of thinking. A change of thinking. And we are always, as clergy and as preachers, we always practice something called hermeneutics. And hermeneutics is the technical term, which means you try to take the gospel message written in its own time, but make it alive and responsive to the situation that we live in now. So you take what we have written down about 2,000 years ago, or even older, the Old Testament being older than that, by about 500 to 600 years, and we sort of look at it in terms of what it means to be alive in 2020. And always we find, and Jesus in his own time was challenging the established way of seeing things, the established vision. And that's called metanoia. So keep that word in mind, metanoia. We still have this same charge with us. We now know more things, and we have to make it congruent with our faith and have our faith understand and respond to what we know now. So we together are practicing hermeneutics and this craft called metanoia. The 20th century was a time of great upheaval. Now, I know we have some scientists and physicists amongst us, and by the year 1915, it was felt in the scientific world that everything that was needed to know about science has been known. We don't need any more physics, it was commonly said in the year 1900, 1905, 1910. We know all there is to know about physics, the classic physics. And then in 1915, along comes Albert Einstein with his theory of relativity, and David Bohm with his theories about quantum physics. And those of you who have had to study this know how it changed things from classical physics. And it was like a turning things upside down. And nothing made sense anymore at this subatomic particle level. Quantum physics had led to a whole new development of things that we today take for granted. In fact, we could not be doing this service today without some of the engineering work that has been identified through quantum physics and quantum mechanics. Such things that we take for granted today are the LED lights that light up our lives, the transistor, the laser that is so important in our surgery work today in the hospitals, charge-coupled dividers, devices known as CCD, which can take on the size of a sliver of your fingernail and put the equivalent of up to a billion transistors, and one transistor takes the place of a tube. Now, I know that in our congregation today, we have a few amateur radio people, including Leroy and myself, and we fooled around with tubes. But now, a CCD in the size of a fingernail can do a billion what we used to do with like a room full of tubes. These computers that we're using today, back when I went to college first, we had a refrigerated room full of stuff just to have computing power that was like maybe a 25th of what we're doing here today. Just amazing. But all of this, along with other things that are coming, quantum drops, quantum computers, traumatic therapeutic devices with artificial intelligence, helping the therapist. I use some of it myself in my work as a trauma therapist. We take the results of fMRI machines and use that in helping really profoundly traumatized people. So things have changed dramatically, and it has an impact. We don't live in a vacuum. There was a priest in 1933 who recognized, he was a reader, he was a scientist, Thiard de Chardin. And Thiard de Chardin had a vision that this quantum reality had an impact on our spirituality. And he started writing and exploring something which he and others called the divine matrix, a new dimension. The old dimensions had fourfold. There was earth, wind, fire, and water. And he realized that there was a new dimension alive in the planet Earth that had never been really known about before, which came from God, and that was connective energy. And the divine matrix has been demonstrated. I mentioned a few weeks ago that supposing you lost a piece of your finger, and they took your finger, and they took it 500, 600, 1,000 miles away, and you were here, and the finger was over there, and they stimulated you here, your finger instantly would recognize it. It would see a blip on a screen, virtually faster than the speed of light. There's something connecting us that we haven't known before. And this all has spiritual ramifications, which is what we're going to be exploring over the next few weeks. We have now learned that this part of this connection is through our DNA. And we know that all DNA is, everything has DNA. We all here have DNA, but so do all animals on the planet, but also so do all plants. So all living things on the planet have DNA. And we also have now learned through science that we connect to our DNA through emotions, and it connects to quantum waveforms. And these waveforms, that's why we sang Lord of the Dance this morning. These quantum waveforms are like a dance. And when you, those of you who know quantum mechanics better than I, and I'm not pretending I know anything, but once you observe the quantum waveform, it gets what they call entangled, and it becomes solid. So we now are starting to learn there's connectedness, and that there is a relationship between emotions and DNA, and it transcends the bounds of time and space. And the effects are same, whether it's across the planet or the universe or just within our own body. So there's something going on here that we never really understood before. This quantum work has led to a realization of this connective force. And it's also led to realization that we have to put something on top of classic physics, and even on top of the quantum physics, that there's something here going on, and on top of something is meta. So metaphysics is on top of physics, and it's a whole development now of a new spirituality that can be demonstrated, that we as Christians must tap into. And this is especially important, not so much for us here, both in the screen, on screen today on Zoom, and also here in the hall, because we've accepted our God and we love God. But we have people in the world today who don't get God. And we can now help them and say, look, there is something that science has discovered and we are working at understanding. Pierre de Chardin tried to speak to the church in the 30s, and he was silenced. And even worse, what they did to him, he was a scientist and a Catholic priest. He was silenced. They would not allow his work to be published. It was suppressed. And he was banned. What they did was that they, because he was in service to the church, he was, you know, he did what they asked him to do, but they sent him to China in the late 30s, where he sat out a lot of his life. And all his writings were only published by his friends after his death. But he was a pioneer of saying, wow, There's something going on here, and it's God speaking through me, and I must continue to write. I must continue to proclaim this message. And we don't give Terre de Chardin enough praise in our age today. And so he practiced the whole idea of metanoia. He was saying, look, there's a change in things, and we must have a change in thinking. And that's what this little series is about. We must work to change our thinking and also tell our family members who say, you guys are nuts about God. We are nuts about God in a way of embracing God, but the other way of being nuts is that you guys are crazy while you're believing. And we need to help people believe that there is something going on much more than what we understand. And this has led to the whole new field of quantum spirituality. There's three principles about the divine matrix, the revelation of it. I believe, and so do really much better theologians than me, a friend of mine, Dermot Amurcu, really understands it. He says, we have to come to terms that this whole quantum dance, these waveforms, this is a way of seeing the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is this quantum DNA that we are all connected with. And that it's really profoundly changing the theology, and it's starting to percolate down. That we used to think that God, the Creator, and everything flowed from the Creator, and the Holy Spirit was sort of the last part. There's now a shift going on in the theological world, and that is the Holy Spirit came first. And the Holy Spirit comes out of God, but the active part of God is the Holy Spirit at the Big Bang. Prior to the Big Bang was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit continues to be alive, and that we are where we are today through evolution, and we are where we are today by the dancing alive Holy Spirit. And that Jesus came to earth to, in his own time, to speak to the world, say you have to have a whole new way of thinking. And it comes out when you look at some of these things about quantum science. Everything exists within a matrix. We're not outside of creation. We are in creation. If you can think of a matrix as something like the design of the buckyball, or the design you see on a soccer ball, that's like a matrix, but we're all in that matrix. We're not looking at the matrix, we're a part of it. And whatever happens in a small way to us, or in a big way, like what's going on now with climate change, we're all in it, we're all affected. And there's theological ramifications for that. We are not apart from our sisters and brothers who are Muslim, or who are Jewish, or who are Shintoist, or who are Taoist, or who are, you name it. We're all in this together. The divine matrix is also holographic. So when you look at your fingernail in the morning, the one you just cut off because it was growing too long, everything that's in there, including your DNA, is representative of everything in the universe. The universe is there as well as the universe being where it is. It's holographic. It's holistic. And the past, the present, and the future are all joined together as the third principle. And that is a whole new way of understanding theology. A whole new way of being progressive, a whole new way of being Christian. And we're going to explore this in more detail as time goes by. There's four keys to understanding this new spirituality. The connective energy is a container that holds the universe, and it is a bridge work of all things, and a mirror that shows us what we have created as well as looking into God's creation. So we're in it. And when we look at what's around us, there's a mirror of it all over the universe. Everything in our world is connected to everything else. I can't stress that enough. Because we're living in the age of othering. that somehow we are maybe Caucasian and blacks and First Nations people and people of color don't matter. That's not true. We're all together. We're all connected. We're all connected to what's happening to the animals. And when one species of animal gets extinguished because of our stupidity, we're still connected to that loss. It's okay to even today grieve the loss of the carrier pigeons, the pigeons that were so numerous when North America got settled and by contact. A key three is to tap the force of the universe itself. We must see ourselves as a part of it, not separated from it. And once, key four, once something is joined, it is always connected, whether it remains physically linked or not. So this is a quick beginning, but now we're going to spend time going through all of this in the weeks to come. This whole new way of seeing our faith, seeing our theology, and seeing the reality, which I hope will give us words and ideas to share with members of our family, especially the younger ones, who often say, I don't know why you go to church. I don't know why you take time to come and worship. You can help them understand that, look, some of the ways that the church proclaimed its message in the past, I recognize as out of date. But there is new truths and new realities, and I want to share these with you. And I hope at the end of this journey together, we'll have that in our minds and able to help our children and other friends continue to journey with us. For we are all connected, and we all are the people of God. May God bless us all as we journey. Amen.